Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
We started out talking about the situation with Ukraine and Russia, and if I get a chance, I will circle back around to that because there was a few more things probably that should be said about. But joining you tonight here in the studio, it is Ian.
And Chris.
And remotely, we have...
Nobody.
And nobody is here. And, yeah, your phone calls are welcome at 603-283-6160. But since we were kind of getting into the subject of cryptocurrency acceptance and looking at, you know, what has happened here in New Hampshire, which is definitely still one of the leading places, probably the leading place in the United States as far as Keene is being, like, probably still the best city in the U.S. as far as crypto acceptance per capita. In fact, we still beat a lot of cities in just raw numbers. Like, not just per capita, but, like, Keene beats Miami, Boston, Austin, any city I ever look at and seriously audit as far as what businesses are taking crypto, they're pathetic, and Keene's got a beat. So, but that's good. But the, you know, the islands are killing us. We're not the best in the world.
I will say my crypto usage is down, and I will tell you why.
Because of goldbacks?
It's because of goldbacks.
Why? But why are you using goldbacks more than crypto?
Well, at the moment, it's because the crypto stuff isn't working at the merchants. But I'm still using crypto at a lot of places, yeah, because a lot of merchants are still, they're still taking it. It's just that it's kind of awkward to, like, make a payment, and then there's this white screen that comes up instead of a paid screen.
Yeah, the sad thing is.
And it's like, you know, the merchant, most of the merchants will be like, they're like, okay, I understand. But it's still, it's like, and a lot
it's
of
them. It's embarrassing.
It is. And that's why it's like, I'm like, do I want to pay with Goldbacks or do I want to pay with, you know, crypto? And it's like,
you know, the Goldbacks.
I'm going with the Goldbacks.
Every time.
Right,
you know,
right.
There's no question about that. Yeah, it is frustrating that, you know, here we are coming up on, what, year 14 of Bitcoin, and of course crypto, other cryptos came out a few years after Bitcoin, but coming up on a more than a decade of development and usage, and the payment options are still razor thin as far as actually using technology to transfer out of business in real life. It barely exists.
And it's interesting because we go, you know, a year or more, you know, with, you know, it working great, and then all of a sudden something will stop working because, you know, one reason or another, some technology will change or somebody will have to, you know, move to a new protocol.
To upgrade to a new version.
Right, right, right. And and some of this, I think, it's just growing pains, ultimately.
It is. It's fun, but that's what it is.
It is. It's like, I personally, you know, certain, like, merchant apps, I wouldn't have done it the way that it was done. I would have done it in a more decentralized fashion. But at the
same
time, I'm not doing it, you know? It's like,
and one of the reasons you're probably not doing it is there really isn't any money in it yet because, you know, it's one of those chicken or the egg things. There has to be tools for businesses to use to accept cryptocurrency. But if there are tools, you know, but if you make the tools, there's still not many people using the tools, and so there's no money to be made. So why do you make the tools?
Well, and here's the thing. It's not that there's no money necessarily in it. It's that the focus ends up being on the investor types rather than, you know, spending and accepting it, you know, merchant pools. And you're right.
Well, on the topic of investment, though, you know, if somebody waits for widespread acceptance and then decides to develop their tool, they're going to be way too late.
Too late, sure.
The winner in the tool space is going to be the person who's already established in it when the acceptance comes.
Yep, and that is true. But it is a long, hard slog in the early days here. You know, we are still, whether we like it or not, in the early days of crypto interest and acceptance because there's a big difference between the group of people who are into crypto because they want to see number go up over time And those of us who are into crypto because it's an empowerment for the individual and, you know, an undermining of the old money system, there's a very big difference between those groups. And I would say the people that are in it for number go up are probably the majority of the users. And most of those people have no understanding of the idea of peer-to-peer electronic cash. They have no value for that at all. They're not getting into it to replace the dollar. They're getting into it in the hopes they'll make more dollars down the line.
I think you're right. You know, I think most of the focus, you know, and I think we may be being a little bit too harsh. I only say that because that's what Ed Media seems to focus on, is the investor type. Mm-hmm. And we just don't hear a lot about people spending it like a currency. But, you know, it's not like I've seen cryptocurrency, you know, usage go down. Like, I have a business and we accept cryptocurrency.
An online business, right? ThinkPenguin.
Right. I haven't seen cryptocurrency usage go down. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's gone up even, in fact. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. But it's yeah, I mean.
I'm not saying it won't happen. But it's frustrating in the early times of being there waiting
especially
for these things to happen.
Especially, I think, with brick and mortar. All right. Mm-hmm. I think the online stuff has been working better.
Are decent. There.
Yeah, but especially the merchant tools, in person retailers. Right. That's where I think we still have some room to work with. There are some tools though now that are better. Like, there have been some improvements. A lot of the tools right now are still centralized tools, but we do have some better decentralized merchant tools.
Mm.
So it's not like there hasn't been improvements. And there's also been some other improvements over the years. Now some of these are older, but things like Monero. We still haven't seen widespread adoption of Monero in terms of merchant tools. So there's still a lot of room to grow.
It really is.
And I think we'll see that as time goes on. But it's going to take, you know, and I've said this from the beginning, I think it's going to take 40, 50 years probably before we see, you know, a larger percentage of the population really using it.
How long did it take credit cards to break into 50%?
That's exactly it. You know, they came out, what, in the 40s, I think it was?
40s or 50s or something.
And
yeah.
We didn't really see, even in the 90s, there were a lot of people who didn't have a credit card. So, you know, and that was in the United States. In Europe, it's still that way in some places. So, you know, I think it is. And I think in some sense, crypto has kind of done better than the credit card in that.
Better, faster, you mean?
Faster, mm-hmm. in that it's got more widespread adoption around the world.
Well, that makes sense because the knowledge can move faster than it could in 1950, right?
Maybe.
And you couldn't use your credit, even if you got a credit card from Diners Club or whatever, which was the first credit card back in the day, it wouldn't have been that useful in many places. Whereas you could use Bitcoin right now on, you know, online gambling or buying a new laptop or so many different online. Right. Methods.
I frequently see, you know, people buying stuff from other countries and paying in Bitcoin because it's just easier.
Sure, you don't need to exchange currencies.
Right. There's no, you know, you don't have to worry about exchange rates or anything like that. And if you've already got it, because for whatever reason, you know, it's actually, you often will get a discount for using cryptocurrency. So, you know, there are a lot of advantages to it, I think.
So speaking of crypto growth, you have a story focusing on sub-Saharan Africa.
I do.
And their usage.
Yep.
Or interest in crypto.
So this story is from Coindesk.com, and the title of the story is Crypto is Quietly Thriving in Sub-Saharan Africa, Chain Analysis reports. So, let's see here. So the report shows strong crypto usage and adoption rates in the region. With highly educated young people and low job prospects, crypto is a way to feed their family, says Convexity founder Adabaja. I'm just going to leave it at that.
I'm sure I
butchered the first name, but I probably got close enough at least with that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Small retail payments in sub-Saharan Africa are powering exceptional crypto adoption and usage. Hmm. You know, something to point out, though, is that region of the world actually has had digital payments, I believe, long before most of, like, the Western world. They were early adopters.
The phone minutes that they were sending around.
Yeah, they were using, like phone minutes as a currency early on.
Probably still are.
Maybe they still are. So it really probably should be too much of a surprise that you're seeing, you know, adoption.
They were primed for it, basically, is what you're saying.
With the region conducting the world's highest proportion of crypto retail payments, less than $1,000.
How do you know that? How does Chainalysis know that that's what's going on?
That's a good question, and I don't know. Maybe the apps, the merchant apps, and they can see the addresses from those merchant apps. I'm not.
That?
Yeah, maybe.
Let's find out a little bit more about it coming up here, and you can share your thoughts. The number 603-283-6160. That would be really interesting if it was actually sub-Saharan Africa that has a big retail usage and for beating out the islands that I was talking about earlier, where the islands have a ton of businesses taking crypto. There's more coming up here, and you can share your thoughts as well. This is Free Talk Live.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. That's 800-932-5140.
In the 1800s, there were 160 spas set up in Europe to dispense fresh liquid whey. The sick would recover their health and the aged would become rejuvenated. There's only one whey protein powder on the market that can generate and surpass the results seen in the whey spas in Europe. But first, let me tell you the story of 90-year-old Mary, who was semi-bedridden and in hospice care. Mary had been consuming only a pea protein and pasteurized milk drink. Then Mary was put on to Green Meadow whey mixed with raw milk. She was given 2 to 3 whey drinks per day. On the very first day, Mary was up and came into the kitchen and made chicken soup. She was on her feet for many hours. 3 days later, Mary had gained 2.5 pounds of healthy weight. Green Meadow Whey is health giving to both young and old. Green Meadow Whey is guaranteed to make you feel better, stronger, reduce your inflammation, and eliminate virtually all toxins from your body without feeling sick. To order, go to bestwayprotein.net. That's bestwayprotein.net. Or call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live, and you can join the show. Bring up whatever you want. The number 603-283-6160. again, 603-283-6160. In the studio tonight, Ian, Chris, nobody is out there remotely as well. And the number is 603-283-6160. We're talking about cryptocurrency acceptance and some interesting data from the company Chainalysis, who I'm not a big fan of. They work with governments, by the way, to help governments people's trace transactions to try to bring peaceful people up on various different nonviolent victimless charges. So, I mean, Chainalysis, for the most part, is doing some pretty evil stuff out there. But that said, they've put out an interesting report looking at usage of cryptocurrency in sub-Saharan Africa. And Chris, do you think it's a coincidence that Free Talk Live also, for the last decade, has had a satellite feed that happens to cover sub-Saharan Africa?
This is an interesting question. There's a reason, Free Talk Live and you, Ian, are being targeted by the feds. You're not a bad target, or at least, if they had gotten to you earlier, not earlier, right? I think they just waited too long is honestly what happened.
One of the reasons they waited was because they wanted to charge me with the so-called kingpin charge.
And that might have been their mistake.
They needed to have a certain number of years under their belt, or my belt in this case, to bring that charge, which has a minimum of 10 years on just that one charge. So that's what they wanted to do, in my opinion. So tell us more about this. You're saying retail is fairly high in sub-Saharan Africa. And one of the things I noticed when I was looking at their report here is it's actually specifically two countries more so than the rest of sub-Saharan Africa. Nigeria and Kenya are where the real hot spots are.
Yeah, they're saying that the peer-to-peer transactions, which I presume mean non-trading transactions.
Peer-to-peer meaning not using a centralized exchange.
Right, exactly.
But like local bitcoins.
Right,
or Paxful.
Which tends to suggest it's they're probably making purchases and sales, that type of transaction, as opposed to, investment type of transactions. So, So the report highlights how peer-to-peer transactions are more common in sub-Saharan Africa than anywhere else in the world. At about 6% of all crypto transaction volume, Africa's peer-to-peer transactions dwarf those of Central and Southern Asia and Oceania, the region with the second highest volume in that category. Many Africans have integrated crypto into everyday life, the report says. Besides retail transactions, remittances and commercial transactions have also been key drivers for Africa's high adoption and usage rates. Crypto usage is driven by everyday necessity as opposed to speculation by the already well off, especially in countries where the values of local fiat currencies are dropping. Well, what's interesting about that is they're dropping everywhere these days. Dirty fiat.
That's so every central bank is on a printing extravaganza. They're inflating like crazy.
I have to wonder if that may, at some point impact, even the United States, and maybe steer people towards cryptocurrencies, at some point, right? It may not have happened yet, but it could still happen, it may be likely even. As we've seen in Nigeria and Kenya, the report states. What makes Africa different? At first glance, some of the high-level figures in the Chainalysis report tell the story of a continent with the lowest cryptocurrency transaction volume in the world. Hmm. Yeah, it's because there's less wealth there,
right,
probably.
They don't have as much to transact.
And there's fewer people investing in it, maybe, or less investments overall because they have less money.
But what they're saying is even though the total value is low, the amount of usage is high. They're just doing small transactions.
The percentage of the transactions that are utilized for purchases, it makes up the majority of the transactions, not trading, for the sake of profit, which is exactly what, cryptocurrencies of what Bitcoin, was, created for. So I think this is great. I would love to see that happen, elsewhere, more elsewhere as well. And I think one of the good things about that is it potentially has the potential to, make the cryptocurrencies more stable in general. I think a lot of the fluctuation has a good part a good part of it has to do with the fact that most of the people, unfortunately, who are using cryptocurrencies today are not utilizing it as a currency so much as an investment tool. So, and it's not that I would discourage people from like having cryptocurrencies and, you know, hoping it'll go up in value, but.
So you're saying the opposite is true in Africa, where people are using it at retail, they're using right. it to actually buy things.
That's what gives it value. Right. Mm-hmm. I feel that's what really gives it value. But if the majority of its usage is not in, you know, at retail or, you know, not in conducting business, then it's not going to have, the stability is not going to be there, I don't mm-hmm. think. Think of it this way. Your average person isn't thinking about how much the dollar is worth, but your average person isn't investing in dollars. They're using dollars to make investments. And that's the same thing that should probably be occurring more with cryptocurrency as opposed to, and part of the problem is in that, you know, this is kind of what Bitcoin especially, it's designed to work that way. It goes up in value. The dollar always goes down in value, right? So, yeah, I mean, I understand, and this is also one of the things that people who are critics, I think, of Bitcoin, I think they have a kind of a point here in that you want people to invest in things. You don't want people to invest in dollars, which is why they say it's better to have the dirty fiat go down in value because you want them to invest in other things, not in the currency.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, a deeper dive into the report, however, reveals first a very diverse region with varying usage and adoption rates, and a second, a genuine need for crypto.
That's one of the key differences between this area and meaning the sub-Saharan Africa, where you're dealing with people in a lot of cases that are making, if they're lucky, a dollar a day. These are people that really, they don't have traditional financial services. They don't have a lot of the same creature comforts that some of us do in the Western world. And the money there is even worse. You deal with something like Zimbabwe, where, of course, they've had tremendous inflation in the local currency there. And I believe Zimbabwe's new dollar is also having trouble since they brought it back. There was a time period where they didn't have their own central currency, and now they do again. These people are in sub-Saharan Africa are subject to some of the worst governments in the world. And so Bitcoin and cryptocurrency is a direct path out from that. They are not living, in many cases, comfortable lives like many of us are here by comparison in the West, and people who are uncomfortable are more likely to look for other options.
But Ian, Bitcoin isn't useful to poor people in other countries because it's it costs too much, right?
It does. Bitcoin does have a high fee in order to send it, and it makes me wonder whether these African users are using Bitcoin or if they're using something else like Bitcoin Cash for their transactions.
Yeah, the fees are too high with Bitcoin.
They are. So you can in some cases pay. Now these days it's lower than it's been, but we've seen fees on Bitcoin go higher than $5 a transaction in the past. So it can get there again. I don't know where they are right now, but last I heard they were in the 10 to 20, 30 cent range, which is still way too much for somebody.
And this is the great thing about markets and open source and free software and Bitcoin. And that's, we have other options that have low fees.
The number here is 603-283-6160. I presume we have a few more highlights to share about sub-Saharan African adoption and actual usage of cryptocurrency. And you can share your thoughts here as well. This is Free Talk Live.
Do you experience fatigue when you know you should have energy? One reason fatigue can occur is due to a lack of antioxidants in the body. This deficiency happens the older we get, or due to eating an unhealthy diet, or even due to exercise. Your body's number one antioxidant is glutathione. When your cells are depleted of glutathione, you will be fatigued, inflamed, possibly depressed, and may also feel pain. Empirical results indicate that consuming green metal whey protein powder is the most effective means of increasing glutathione production. Green metal whey supplies nature's richest source of the precursor to making glutathione within the trillions of cells of your body. This protein strongly supports the cell's ability to make glutathione. Add to this that green metal whey also supports immunity, energy, lean muscle development, fat loss, and has anti-cancer properties, and you have nature's most complete and strongest superfood. To order, go to bestwayprotein.net. That's bestwayprotein.net. Or call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325.
U.S.
USA Radio News.
I'm Tony Marusso reporting. The U.S. House of Representatives is expected on Friday to pass a bill funding the federal government through December the 16th, avoiding an embarrassing partial shutdown less than 6 weeks before the midterm elections, when control of Congress might be at stake. The National Hurricane Center said late Friday morning that Hurricane Ian was accelerating toward the South Carolina coast. Life-threatening storm surge and damaging winds would arrive soon, and the storm's movement was faster than previously reported at 14 miles an hour. Ian, located east-southeast of Charleston, with maximum sustained winds at 85 miles per hour and higher. The power outage caused by Hurricane Ian has prompted protests in the streets of Cuba's capital, as several hundred people demanded restoration of electricity more than 2 days after a blackout hit the entire island. This is USA Radio News.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live, phones are open here, and you can join us at 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Free Talk Live, by the way, is brought to you by Freedoms Phoenix. It's your source for all news, government overreach, insane government spending, economic news, and more. You can get the headlines from today all in one place, and from a fresh libertarian perspective, you'll find them over at freedomsphoenix.com. That's freedoms with an S, phoenix.com. As we continue here, we're talking about sub-Saharan Africa and cryptocurrency usage. In the story from, and I'm looking at the Chainalysis blog, which is the company that came out with the report, they keep using the term cryptocurrency. Now, they do get into the peer-to-peer transactions that are being utilized there in these South African countries, and those are being done on platforms like Local Bitcoins and Paxful, which are known for using just Bitcoin. They don't have any other options on those platforms. So, you know, maybe we could extrapolate from that this is that these are mostly Bitcoin-related transactions. But it could just be that they're buying Bitcoin from these platforms and then converting that Bitcoin to more useful currencies.
That's
they can
not
use
unlikely either, given that I don't think that there is as many options when it comes to purchasing cryptocurrencies that are not Bitcoin. Or at least there weren't a number of years ago. Mm-hmm. Usually you had to buy Bitcoin or Litecoin and then convert it to something.
Right. So what else did you want to share from the story, Chris?
So they do have a little bit more here. Chain analysis contrasts affluent Western countries that use crypto to increase wealth, which I think there's some truth to that, but I think that's unfair to say that that's the only thing Western countries use it for, especially given what I've seen personally as a business owner and what I see in my own community. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that use crypto to increase wealth with poor African countries that use crypto to preserve and build wealth. Isn't that kind of the same thing?
Yeah.
But anyway, amid unfavorable economic conditions, I don't know. I mean, we have unfavorable economic conditions too.
Sure.
I mean, I understand there is a night and day difference between sub-Saharan Africa and the United States, for example, but I don't necessarily think
they haven't gotten to the $1 trillion bill yet here in the United States, but Zimbabwe has seen that.
Right, but to say that we don't have unfavorable economic conditions, I think is kind of misleading.
Yes.
I mean, if you look at the decline in the dollar in just the past year or two, I mean, you know, the official number is, 8%? And, like, the unofficial number is something like 19%?
Correct.
And we certainly have seen, prices, if you actually look on products, you know, in many cases double over the last 3, 4, or 5 years.
Right.
So I don't know. I'm a little, I don't know. We don't have big institutional level traders in sub-Saharan Africa. Yeah, I mean, that's because the continent just in general doesn't have the wealth in it. And so you're not going to see that kind of money moving around, period.
But having access to cryptocurrency could shift their fortune, right? Like, these are people who are in Nigeria and Kenya who are getting into crypto now may very well be the new business leaders in those countries in the next decade.
Yeah, and it's interesting. It'll be really interesting to see what happens in countries. What's the one here? Not El Salvador.
That's the country that officially accepts Bitcoin.
Yeah, that is the one I'm thinking of, El Salvador. It'll be interesting to see what happens in countries like El Salvador that have put their, have purchased a lot of cryptocurrency, mm-hmm. their governments.
They're down for now. Yeah.
But the question is, if they hold on to it, and in a couple of years, I suspect we're probably going to see some jumps in, the value again, and it'll be interesting to see how that, and that's probably going to have a massive impact if they have purchased enough of it.
Well, the question there is, do they have the will politically to stick with it? You know, if, for instance, the president there is the person who really drove this change, and he is running for a re-election, which apparently is like violating the election laws or something. I mean, the dude's a dictator. There's no doubt about it. But if he is re-elected, then it probably will stay the same. If somebody else comes into office, what's to stop them from just going and liquidating all the country's Bitcoin?
And that's the thing. If he retains power, then there's probably a good chance that in a number of years, El Salvador won't be one of the poorer countries in the region. It'll be one of the wealthier countries. On the other hand, at least the government, right? On the other hand, or possibly the dictator. on the other hand, if another dictator comes into power in El Salvador and he decides to sell that cryptocurrency at a loss, assuming he even has access to it, because who knows, right?
Sure.
The
other guy could take the keys and run out the door.
Right, exactly. Then you could also see it being a example of, how do I say this, an example for the critics to use, right?
Mm-hmm. They're already using it. The critics are already dancing on the grave
yes,
of El Salvador, yep. Even though they haven't actually sold the Bitcoin yet. There's all kinds of stories about El Salvador down by X number of millions of dollars on their crypto purchases, and again, it's not a loss until they hit the sell button,
Yeah. That's probably a fair statement. The people driving the market here are retail. Nigeria has a ton of highly educated young graduates with high unemployment rates, no jobs available. Crypto to them is a rescue. Mm-hmm. It's a way to feed their family.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can make a dollar a day in crypto, you're doing better in a lot of these countries than having an actual job.
I don't know.
All day.
I don't know if rescue is the choice of word I would use. It's a way to do business. I think it's probably a way to enable them to do business that they wouldn't otherwise be able to do you know, because it has an international, you can do work for somebody overseas without a bank account and receive Bitcoin or some other cryptocurrency in Nigeria that you wouldn't otherwise probably be able to.
So it opens your horizons, your opportunities.
Exactly. And I think a lot of people don't really understand this being in the West where, you know, they can easily open bank accounts. Mm-hmm. Now, that's not everybody in the West. There is actually a second class in the United States that can't open bank accounts.
The unbanked.
Unbanked, as they say, you know, whether it be, you know, illegal immigrants or, you know, sex workers or, you know, people who operate marijuana farms, maybe.
Right.
There's a large group.
Bitcoiners.
Bitcoiners. There's a fairly substantial, you know, group of people in the United States that can't open bank accounts. And so it's not just, you know, a third world problem here, but I think still for the most majority of Americans with, you know, normal jobs, they don't understand the problem of not being able to interact with the government banking system.
Sure.
So opportunities abound. A market that has crypto integrated into everyday life may present unique opportunities for entrepreneurs and startups. The report explains that retail usage remains consistent or even increases in the face of a bear market. Yeah, you know, something else I want to point out is it actually there are things that a lot of companies in the West cannot sell to people in Africa for a variety of reasons, barriers, right? I couldn't probably accept a credit card assuming they even had, you know, credit cards and whatever, right? There's countries.
Because of fraud?
Yeah, because of basically fraud. Because of things like fraud, especially with a country like Nigeria. But there's a lot of other countries like that too where I can't even accept a credit card. They have credit cards. Visa, MasterCard logo might be on them, but I can't accept them as a business owner because the merchant tools won't allow it to go through.
Really?
Right. So
it's not even your choice.
Right.
It's the choice of the processor.
Right. And it's not even in some countries. Often they make international transactions typical with credit cards anyway, but they can't even call up their financial institution and say, let this transaction go through and then try the transaction again, like you might be able to do with a country in Europe, for example. So I wouldn't be able to do business.
That's why
in those countries, if it wasn't for, you know, things like cryptocurrencies. So that's a whole other problem that it solves that a lot of people don't, I think, understand.
I think nobody's trying to get in there.
Yeah, what'd you have to say?
Yeah, that's why I had to drop Proton Mail, because my credit cards started getting declined. Both of my credit cards started getting declined every month, and I'd call up the institution, I'd say, let it go through, and they'd say, well, they're in Switzerland, and I'd say, I know where the hell they are, let the transaction go through. Finally, I had to cancel my account, move my mail onto the Block.app servers.
Well, for what it's worth, I know that the Proton people do take crypto these days. I don't know if this was before then or if you were under bail conditions or whatever, but for those that are out there interested in that, you can pay them with Bitcoin. There's more coming up here in moments. You can join us on Free Talk Live.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue them up. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live, and you can join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. Ian, Chris, nobody joining you for this episode. If you didn't get in here tonight, that's okay. The phones are open every night from 7 to 10 at night Eastern Time at 603-283-6160. We're talking about cryptocurrency adoption. And interestingly, some of sub-Saharan Africa turns out that they're kind of outstanding as far as people actually using cryptocurrency. Not just buying and holding it, but actually buying and spending it, buying and sending it to friends and businesses and things like that, and utilizing it, which, of course, what is the most important aspect of making these things a success is to actually have people using it. That's what the sub-headline on the Bitcoin white paper was. It called it, Satoshi Nakamoto called it, peer-to-peer electronic cash. And nowadays you have a lot of people in the crypto industry that are just encouraging people to hodl, as they say, or to hold on to the cryptocurrency, which doesn't really do a whole lot for driving adoption. It doesn't do a whole lot for helping retail and using this as a currency, which is what it was intended for by its creator.
And it also has the perverse effect of, the highest priced coin on the market is the most useless coin on the market because the fees are too damn high for it to be usable. And
you're talking about Bitcoin, BTC.
I mean, you know, I'm talking about
Bitcoin, BTC.
You guys say this all the time, and all I'm thinking is, yeah, except I'd have to pay $120 for a transaction, like an international transaction, to buy something overseas with like a wire transfer.
Yeah, but we're talking about African people who making a dollar a day.
Yeah, I get it. It's not a good solution for everybody, but it still works for a lot of stuff.
But there's like a billion or
more. It works, but why pay more? Why do something inefficiently when you can do it efficiently?
Okay, so I would say that, not in this case maybe, but in other cases because it works better. But you're right. I mean, I would agree with you. I think that's a valid point to
agree. There's over 1.3 billion people in Africa right now, and a significant portion of those people, Chris, do not make more than a dollar or two per day. When it comes to
right.
when you
so
make that little bit
of that
money,
use case, right?
When you make that little money, a 10-cent fee, that's like your next two weeks of rent or something like that, right? Like that's a lot of money. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but it's a significant portion of your day's earnings.
And it's not a great use case for that. I think there is a good example of why Bitcoin actually, and it's because it has the widest acceptance of the cryptocurrency. So I think there are some arguments to be made, and I'm being
that's another case of being popular because it's popular.
Yeah, and that can have value, right? At certain points, right? Like, I mean, if you just think about technology, a lot of people use Windows not because it's better, but simply because that's what everybody else is using, and they can get assistance with it from, you know, somebody else who's probably just as technically illiterate. But nonetheless, there is somebody else that can take a look at a problem, right? If you run into a problem, so there can be value. What's that?
I bitch about that, too.
Yeah.
Well, hey, Bitcoin was there first. It has that first mover advantage, and it's a significant one. There's no doubt about that. People have the name recognition when it comes to Bitcoin. But as you were saying earlier, Chris, these folks in these areas, because of the circumstances of their lives, whether it be government-imposed or just, you know, the circumstance of their birth and just not living in a very wealthy place, they're seeking these other options. They're likely finding the low-fee coins and utilizing those like Bitcoin Cash or Dash or maybe Stellar or who knows what it is they've focused in on and what is really being used there.
And this is
I actually looked it up over the station break, brother man, and at least according to the article I found, and the reason that I didn't trouble myself to volunteer to read it is because the two most popular cryptos in Africa were Bitcoin and Ethereum.
Wow.
Interesting. But I mean, this is kind of going back to what I was saying earlier about this is what's so great about the fact that Bitcoin was released as open source and free software, in that it gives us market competition, right? So we do have a solution for the high fees of Bitcoin.
We do.
And so we have Bitcoin Cash, we have Monero, we have some other options out there, and they also solve some additional, problems. Like, I love Monero.
The privacy aspect.
I love the Monero for the privacy aspect. The fees are lower as well, like a lot lower, I believe, as well.
There have been times when they've been a little high from what I've seen, but I think they've come down over time. It's been a while since I've seen it.
I will admit, I don't have the opportunity to use Monero as much, but that's one of the negatives, unfortunately, at the moment about Monero.
Yeah.
But these are problems that could be solved, and hopefully, we will solve them with more time.
All right, what other takeaway did you want to share?
What else we got here? The number of small retail transfers actually grew starting at the onset of the bear market in May, the report states. It seems startups that can facilitate retail, commercial, and peer-to-peer transactions have a decent shot at success in Africa, according to Chainalysis. Paxful, a popular peer-to-peer exchange,
one of the competitors to local Bitcoin.
Yeah, they actually came to New Hampshire and testified at one of our hearings.
You're thinking of a crypto exchange. Not Paxful.
Wasn't Paxful?
No, you're thinking of one of the centralized exchanges.
Okay, I might be mistaken. A popular peer-to-peer exchange is experiencing remittance user growth rates as high as 55% in Nigeria. And one of the things that people have to remember about remittances is that's basically when you're sending money back from the country that you're in and working in and sending it back home to another country.
So a Nigerian in the United States working as a taxi cab driver in New York City may be sending Bitcoin to their loved ones in Nigeria to help them out. And then they're going to Paxful, and they're exchanging the Bitcoin with some local dealer for the Nigerian Naira, which is the local currency there that they can then use.
Yeah, so user growth rates as high as 55% in Nigeria and 140% in Kenya. That's a pretty good growth rate.
It didn't say over what time, though, right?
Yeah, it's a good question. Okay.
Still, big numbers. Good news.
So it's really just a growth magnitude.
Yeah. I think it... I feel like it did, let's see, in May. I think it was in May.
Well, there's some interesting detail here that...
That's what they're referencing. This. So over a period of a month, it grew that
much. Oh, wow.
If I understand what they're saying correctly, because it's a little confusing here.
The Chainalysis blog that announced this study says that regulations limiting crypto activity can also drive peer-to-peer exchange usage. So what happened in Nigeria was the government there prohibited banks from transacting with cryptocurrency in 2021. And while this action doesn't appear to have dampened overall crypto transaction volumes, it has affected usage patterns. They spoke to an analyst at Nigeria's Financial Intelligence Unit who said, quote, Nigeria restricted the usage of the Naira for buying crypto in 2021 due to concerns around scams and tax evasion, and because of that, many people began trading peer-to-peer. So basically, the government of Nigeria made it illegal to buy cryptocurrency with, you know, using a bank account and transferring it to a centralized exchange. So instead, these people started going to Paxful and local Bitcoins and went around the system.
I have to wonder if it would benefit us if we had. I'm not suggesting that we go and start advocating for, regulating cryptocurrencies, you know, at the Fed or state level.
Well,
however, I wonder if them following in Nigeria's footsteps would actually be a benefit to cryptocurrency in terms of maybe stabilizing it and or moving people off of centralized exchanges.
I don't know. It may very well be the case, but of course, as we've seen with the Crypto 6 case, they will target people on local Bitcoins. They will sellers.
This is true, but we do have to remember it is way more work for them to go after individual sellers than it is to go after whole exchanges. So I don't necessarily. And you know, what's interesting is this kind of reminds me, the whole crypto thing kind of reminds me of piracy, right? They get wrapped up in the fear, not understanding the statistic. And the statistic is the chance that you're going to get sued, mm-hmm. for example, if you were pirating stuff all the time, is so tiny that it's not even worth thinking about. And it's not that different with cryptocurrencies. It's
the
a little bit more
is
risk.
Money involved in
that's
crypto.
That's true. There's a little bit more risk, but it's still, unless you're one of the bigger players, mm-hmm. the bigger players in terms of sellers,
right.
or you're some sort of political activist, the chance that the government's going to come after you for cryptocurrency sales is so tiny.
And it's probably even smaller in Nigeria, where the government doesn't have the finances, the budget to go after the smaller fries like they do here in the United States. They'd also point out here that many in Nigeria are even trading crypto directly with one another, so not even using Paxful or local Bitcoins. They're using deals on group chats on apps like Telegram or WhatsApp. Their geographic data doesn't reflect the activity since it takes place through private transactions, but their interviewees described it as a big part of Nigeria's cryptocurrency ecosystem. One of the people they spoke with said, these groups have thousands of people from all over the world, from Nigeria to China to Dubai and more, trading crypto with each other, and the groups are where the volume is happening. Now, that sounds incredibly risky, by the way, to go to some random Telegram chat room and just deal with somebody in China or whatever, but it's a buyer beware in that particular case, but still interesting that Sub-Saharan Africa is seeing a lot of cryptocurrency usage, and they have a lot of problems that crypto can help them solve. Out of time tonight. You can join us between now and tomorrow online over at freetalklive.com. We appreciate it.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Anyone can fall victim to moving fraud. Know your rights and responsibilities.
There was never really a valid contract.
Movers must always give written estimates.
I was bound to an estimate, but it was after the fact.
Be sure that any document is complete before signing it, and that it includes information to determine the final charges.
It was a version that I had not seen before.
Visit protectyourmove.gov to download a free moving fraud prevention guide. Search for registered movers and view their complaint histories. Move with confidence.
I need to pay my taxes. What are my payment options?
The IRS has several options for paying your taxes. You can pay with IRS Direct Pay, a debit or credit card, or with an electronic funds withdrawal when you e-file your return. If you can't pay the full amount, consider paying over time with an online payment agreement or our Offer in Compromise program. Both tools are available on IRS.gov. Go to IRS.gov/payment to find an option that is best suited for you.